We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're live tonight right here on Sports Grid with another Game Time Decisions. Kevin Walsh with you for the next 2 hours as we have a bountiful college basketball board. We have some good NBA games as well with the Denver Nuggets hosting the Boston Celtics as your main event. I'll be involved in that game. I'm involved with both national games tonight. Lakers, Mavericks, certainly some of the shine taken off of that. With the Mavericks injuries, they enter on a 5-game losing streak. There's some juice a little bit, though, with Dallas. We'll talk about that in just a bit. We will have Mike Blewett join us on our show tonight to talk some big picture NFL, some news out of Vegas. Antonio Pierce fired just a little bit ago. Earlier today, we saw the Titans move on from their general manager. What all of that could mean for the NFL draft. Coach James Young will be joining us in about a half hour as well with this basketball board. And again, it is chock full. Ranked action everywhere you look. Iowa State in the Big 12 laying 17.5 to Utah. A scrappy, streaking Georgetown team catching 12.5 against Marquette. You zoom this thing out a little bit. Florida and Tennessee, the number one Vols, are a dog tonight in SEC action. Late night, you've got a double-ranked matchup with UCLA and Michigan in the Big Ten. The Bruins are favored there. Home dog West Virginia is ranked. Duke in action. In fact, a lot of your title contenders are in action tonight. So let's just take a look. The national championship odds, the top 10. Auburn is your favorite, not far behind the Duke Blue Devils. But you see there to all of those teams that are highlighted. That is the top 10 are in action tonight. Auburn travels on the road in SEC play to go up against Texas, a pretty disappointing team. You consider some of those expectations. Duke in a big one with Pitt. We mentioned Tennessee. They're going to play Florida. Iowa State's a big favorite. Kentucky tonight in one of those danger spots we always see on the college basketball board. A slight road favorite in conference play. They're going to go up against a 12-2 Georgia Bulldogs team. And we're going to take this game by game. I just want to quickly say what will be interesting to me is to kind of see if we can get any separation in this little pocket right here into the Auburn-Duke tier. I feel like that's tier one. Houston isn't far behind. Houston, though, hasn't really been able to put together a monstrous marquee result since they lost early season to Auburn. Certainly not a damning loss. They were very competitive in that game, led for a lot of it against the Tigers. But still, I think we're wait-and-see mode a little bit there. And clearly still wait-and-see mode on Tennessee. Tonight will prove a lot. It will. Let's start, though, with Duke. A 14.5-point favorite against the Pitt Panthers. Total in this game is 143.5, and that's where my action is tonight. I like over in Duke Pitt at that 143.5 marker. You look at the Duke team total, 79.5. It does feel a touch expensive, but they should be through that number. All of the top offenses that Pitt has played so far this season, you look at Ohio State, Wisconsin, Mississippi State, all through this number against Pittsburgh. Duke fits that description tenfold. Now, they're a little bit slower than some of those basketball teams, which is why I think the 79.5 feels a little expensive, but Duke is so talented, playing so well, they should do their part. But I think Pitt will do their part as well. The Panthers, if you look, right, comparable defensive opponents to the level that Duke provides, it's hard to find. You look at Mississippi State, which was concerning and disappointing, but this team hung 86 on a very slow and good defensive group in West Virginia. I think Pitt tonight can do their portion of this 143.5. I think this game's getting closer to the 150s tonight. Probably lean Panthers on the side, but I'm on that over at 143.5. Let's talk Florida, Tennessee. The number one Vols against a Gators group that did just lose to Kentucky, but on the road. All is forgiven. But can we just stop and pause a little bit to take a look at this number? Now, it's moved back a touch. I'll tell you right now, I'm playing Tennessee at +4. I was going to play them at +3.5. Maybe at some point this starts to go a little too far, but it is somewhat of a principle play. How much is home court advantage worth in college basketball? 3 feels short. 5 feels outrageous. Let's call it 3.5 for just a second, because that is the number of points that Florida caught at Kentucky. Which means if you take those 3.5 points, remove them for home court advantage, we're even, move the game to Florida, that's what the Gators then would have been laying at home against Kentucky. Well, I like that Wildcats team. They're not within a point of Tennessee. That's not how the books view those basketball teams. We showed you the national title odds. There's a pretty good gap between Kentucky and Tennessee. If it's worth 5 points, if home court advantage is worth 5 points, this still isn't really justifiable when you look at this number. I understand people who are betting Florida. Maybe you'll get the result. I think you have a bad number. Again, unless home court advantage is worth 7-8 points in college, and maybe that's what it is nowadays, I think this is a bad number. I'm going to take 4 points with Tennessee. You'd love to grab 3.5 if you're on the Vols tonight. Kentucky dropping number tonight against Georgia. 2.5s are down to 1.5 on the road in SEC play. People probably looking to fade Kentucky. You think about the road loss that they had when it was the SEC-ACC challenge against Clemson. You think about the struggle that they had at the Garden against Ohio State. And that's where this number checks in. I'm not sure on the side. I am sure that Georgia big man, the young star Austin Newell, will have a great game. 20.5 points plus rebounds is a number he should smash through. When you think about Kentucky, their pace of play, defense still leaves a little bit to be desired early season. Newell should get well through that number tonight. If foul trouble is avoided in 5 games of 30-plus minutes, he's gone over 20.5 in 4 of the 5. You look at the game he played against St. John's, who is a team that is a tick slower and grades out much better defensively than Kentucky. He went well over a 20.5 points plus rebound marker. I think he does the same tonight against Kentucky. Iowa State, Utah. We mentioned that 17.5 points. Not a game I have any action in, but something to keep tabs on is Tamian Lipsey. The probable best player last year from Iowa State has not been that early season. Still very good defensively, but leaving a lot to be desired on the offensive side of the ball. We talk about Tier 1, which I think at the moment, that's Duke, that's Auburn. Iowa State would love to crash right into that party. I think offensively is maybe where there is some reservation, perhaps because Tamian Lipsey hasn't been at that level just yet. How about UCLA and Michigan? Ranked action tonight when we take a look at the Big Ten. UCLA went up against Gonzaga, put a great result on the board, but I think it shifted numbers a little too much here. Michigan's team total 69.5. That's about 8-9 points shorter than what Gonzaga's team total was when they played UCLA. I'm going to buy this Michigan offense, who is going to be able to get 70 or more points tonight and put the Bruins on a small upset alert. Lastly, maybe my favorite prop on the board tonight, Texas's Trey Johnson. Look, the Auburn Tigers roll. They roll often. I don't want to step in front of them on the double-digit number. I will back Trey Johnson through the 16.5 point marker in a clear bounce-back spot at home. Let's talk NBA next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, back to the right here. It is game time decisions. What a college basketball board. So excited for a lot of these games tonight. Of course, the big one, Florida and Tennessee. I think that's your game of the night. I know there's odds boosts out there for Duke and Pittsburgh. I mentioned them on that over at 143.5. Let me see if I can grab quickly, though, just across a few spots, the most recent number for Tennessee and Florida, because I know I caught four. Some of our crew here, they mentioned they're on the Gators at 2.5. Looks like it's 2.5s and threes out there right now. I would still take Tennessee plus 3 because of what I said about home court advantage. I understand, though, if you're just kind of, I got to back Florida based on this is how home court advantage is. I will say, now, Tennessee's strength of schedule is not the greatest. It's better than Florida's. Florida's toughest test, absolutely Kentucky. They lose the basketball game, right? The next closest would, I think you have to say, the game against North Carolina. Handle their business. It was not at North Carolina, but it was in, you know, North Carolina. But that was a very close game in the second half, late in the second half. Certainly UNC team that's left a lot to be desired. So I want to see Florida prove it tonight against Tennessee. And just to expand a little bit quickly, because I didn't get the great chance to on Trey Johnson, that's 16.5 points. But everything that I could possibly want lines up for that number tonight. First of all, he's averaging 19 a game. Now, you talk strength of schedule. Texas is atrocious, and they've lost to any team with a pulse that they've played this season. But I have seen, in big spots, good games from Trey Johnson. Excellent against Ohio State in the opener. Very good against UConn when they played at home. He was awful against A&M. A&M grades out a much better defense, actually, than that of Auburn, and it was on the road, and I get the follow-up game, where he shot the ball under 20% from the field, easily his worst game as a college player. Really like what I got from Trey Johnson tonight. Let's go to the NBA. Let's go to the NBA. Fun board on the association, for the association tonight. Nuggets Celtics is where you have to put your eyes. You have to. You look at Denver. It's a 20-14 basketball team who, it's certainly already been an up-and-down season. Nikola Jokic is still viewed as the best player in the sport. He has his chance to win MVP, but the winning that Oklahoma City is doing is, you know, really propelling Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They've won 15 regular season games in a row. The loss to the Bucks is missed, you know, mixed in there, but that's where we're at with OKC. OKC extended that streak by beating the Knicks, beating these Boston Celtics, but Jokic is still having that level of a season. And I think for people knowing that Jokic is still this great, right? And the Nuggets are this average, a part of the mix, basically the same record as the Lakers. That doesn't feel right. I think tonight's awesome because it's a great test for both. For Denver, who occasionally gives you a really encouraging performance, right? At home tonight against the Celtics team, who many feel the Nuggets present a bad matchup for. You can talk to people who follow Boston closely. Even last year, when the Celtics were clearly the best team in the NBA, many people said, that is not a matchup we want, specific to Nikola Jokic, I think. Can the Nuggets provide those same problems, right? That people felt they provided last season. But on the other end of it, can Boston step on it, right? Celtics are a very difficult team to beat consecutively. And not that Denver would be beating them straight times, but off of a loss, I believe only once this season, we have seen Boston lose multiple games in a row. Now, it did happen within the last few weeks. Boston, you know, funny enough, at 26-10 is having a down season, but that's the standard that which the Celtics set up for themselves. This is a team that lost 18 games only last year. This is a team who, at the moment, with 10 losses, is more than Cleveland and Oklahoma City combined. The Celtics are the one who were down to 2-1 to win a title. That's the standard for Boston. So I think for Boston, and you see the number, 5.5. It's a good price that they're laying. So I'm excited to watch that play out. What I like in this game tonight is Kristaps Porzingis over 18.5 points. Really like it, in fact. Kristaps is getting back to a lot more usage for this team. And at 18 and a half, when he plays at least 30 minutes, he's over that in all but one game. It was a game where he scored 17 on 2 of 10 from the field. Was excellent from the line. It was a loss against Orlando. You look at the last game out against OKC, plays 29 minutes. That's a foul trouble thing. 5 fouls in the game, still scored 19 points, despite 1 of 6 shooting from 3. I think going up against Denver, Kristaps' outside game is even more valuable than necessarily him attacking the interior, which could get us 3-4 made shots from beyond the arc, really get us through that 18 and a half nicely there in a really fun game late night. Earlier on the national side of things, you're going to see the Lakers and the Mavericks. A Dallas team that I believe is one of the best in basketball is now at a 5-game losing streak. And on the second leg of a back-to-back at home, they're catching 6.5 points from the Lakers. The number feels a tick high, but I think it's Dallas's offense tonight that would be responsible for giving them a chance to pull off a slight upset or certainly hang inside that number. I'm going to play the Mavericks team total at 106.5. I think it's a really good number. Expect better shooting. We saw them at home without Kyrie, without Luka, against Cleveland, score 122. And you have the Lakers now on a road trip, a real road trip, for the first time in a long time. The Lakers have not played consecutive games outside of Los Angeles since early, or outside of California, early December. And that's when the defense was really bad. The defense was bad against Houston, especially early in that game. I know they almost made the comeback. Let's see how the defense holds up tonight in a game where I'm sure a little bit of a shine taken off, right, for the Los Angeles Lakers without Kyrie and Luka Doncic across from them. That's going to be a hungry Mavericks team. I like that offense at 106.5. And then Miami Golden State tonight. We'll get maybe a little more into this basketball game, but give me Draymond Green in a nice bounce back spot over the 12.5 rebounds plus assists at even money. We have Sports Millions pick 'em right around the corner.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on Sports Grid, it is Game Time Decisions. Kevin Walsh with you here, and we have our Sports Millions pick'em options out there tonight. Plenty of chances on the NBA board, as well as the ice, which is where both Tom Vecchio and Joe Maddon will be looking tonight. So let's hear from them, some of their favorite options, again, on Sports Millions pick'em tonight.
Okay, Tom, we've got a loaded day out there on the ice, and I know both of us are looking at picks here for our higher or lower on our Sports Millions. Where are you going with yours?
Yeah, we're coming off of 2 wins yesterday. Let's turn to the Red Wings going up against the Ottawa Senators. Really like this matchup. Both teams have been playing better as of late, especially the Red Wings. Coaching change. Let's go to Alex DeBrincat for higher than 2.5 shots on goal. He is going up against one of his former teams, which I always love. And when we look over the past 2 weeks for the Senators, while they are playing better hockey, they're still giving up a lot of shot attempts. Specifically, they're giving up 59.3 total shot attempts per 60 minutes in 5v5 situations. That's the 11th worst in the league. So we look to DeBrincat. He's on that second forward line, that first power play. There should be ample opportunities for him to continue to fire the puck. He's at least 2 shots on goal in 8 out of his last 10 games. So he's essentially live for this prop every single night. Hopefully those extra chances in this matchup will push him over 2.5. What do you got?
Okay, I absolutely love where you're going there. I think Alex DeBrincat's going to come out nice and strong. I could see him recording 4 or 5 shots in that matchup. Like you said, the Senators not providing that much resistance. When I looked here at the slate today, the Anaheim Ducks are at home and they're facing the Calgary Flames. And a little birdie did tell me the Calgary Flames have brought their wives on the trip and the practices. And they haven't been great, Tom. They've been yelling at each other. There's been some select words dropped out there on the ice, and I'm looking for the Ducks to come out nice and strong and take advantage of a Calgary Flames team that maybe isn't having the best road trip right now. So I'm going to look here at a couple of players I had circled, and I ended up on Dylan or Ryan Strome here. Ryan Strome higher than 0.5 points. He's been phenomenally strong out there on the ice, and we're looking at him, 7 goals and 16 assists on the season. 2 assists he was able to put up on Tampa. And then in the last games prior. Those four games, he was able to record a point in each of those. I think he comes out nice and strong. He is on that top line. He centers the top line with Troy Terry out there. And we know Troy Terry is good for that anytime goal. So I'm expecting the assists. I will take Ryan Strome higher than a half a point in this matchup, Tom.
Yeah, and if with Frank Vatrano getting that recent contract extension, you know they're going to be pushing that offense. So if they have some time on the power play, that could certainly come through as well.
Okay, you guys, make sure you join us back here tomorrow for another Sports Millions Picks.
Appreciate it again, Joe Madden there and Tom Vecchio giving us some ice options for Sports Millions Pick'em. And one guy who we are seeing for the first time in a long time on the board is Zion Williamson. Making his return to the court for the first time since early November. Zion has only played six games this season, which is unfortunately par for the course for Zion. Now, with Zion getting out there, you wonder, is there a minutes restriction? Zion has had those before. It's not necessarily always stopped him from performing really well. I mean, you can go back to his rookie season where he averaged 22.5 points per game in under 28 minutes a night. So if you get 24 minutes, perhaps Zion is able to go higher than 16.5 points. There is a good chance Zion does go higher than a really interesting market that you can find here on Sports Millions Pick'em, 2.5 turnovers. In five of the six games he's played this season, Zion has gone higher than that number. He's had more ball handling responsibilities in New Orleans over the last 2 years or so. And if that's going to continue, plus some rust, could be a really nice option. I do wonder if Zion, from now until about a month from now, right, early February, is he auditioning? And will New Orleans look to make a blockbuster deal that sends out Zion Williamson or Brandon Ingram or CJ McCollum or all three? It's very, very possible. And if Zion feels as if he is auditioning, does he play even a little bit better? It feels like he's wanted out of New Orleans, kind of since he's got there from the beginning. Something to keep an eye on again, higher than 2.5 turnovers. Not a bad option on Zion tonight back out there for New Orleans. We'll be joined on Game Time Decisions by Coach James Young next, right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live with you right here on Sports Grid. It is Game Time Decisions. Kevin Walsh with you on this Tuesday night, and it wouldn't be right we didn't have Coach James Young with us here. JY, a loaded night of basketball.
You know what it is, Kevin? It's the first Tuesday in January. That means my Jets are completely irrelevant, and it's time to talk basketball. I'm ready. I'm like Lance Stevenson. I'm board ready.
So then let's get right into it, Coach. I think we should start on the college board. I think it's where a lot of bettors are going to be tonight. And I think they're going to be excited to get involved with Florida, Tennessee. The Gators just lost to Kentucky. Their next game, it's against Tennessee. Gives you an idea of what that SEC schedule is going to look like on most nights. But Florida's a favorite. An unbeaten number one Vols group catching points. How do you try and find some value in this game?
I just think the game's going to be an overplay. Kevin, if you look at the offenses here, in a way that Florida just lost, I think it was 106-100 to Kentucky. They can get up and down the floor. Also, maybe look at Walter Clayton Jr. I think it's 17.5 is his points prop. I think this game gets up and down. I think it's a tight game. You know my belief of tight games, fouls late, more possessions. Give me the over in a game tonight between Florida and Tennessee.
And curious for you, JY, when you look at these teams big picture right now, do you feel as if, you know, with you know, whether it be a future or just kind of tracking the movement there, do either of these teams really pop off the page for you?
No, because I'm worried about the defense of Florida long-term. You get to the tournament, right, Kevin? And my concern with Rick Barnes is it's Rick Barnes. right? So as many teams as he had as talented, and you can see this is one of the most talented teams he's ever had, I get concerned with them in the tournament. So if you're asking me, like in the SEC, you know, I'm looking at, you know, obviously an Alabama over them. I think Auburn is the best team in the country. I know they lost, but they lost to Duke at a tight contest. So there are other teams that I like more than I like either one of these teams. One, because of their lack of defense at times, and the other one for a coach that just honestly hasn't really done it in a big spot.
Yeah, I'm curious to see kind of how these teams handle this conference, JY, because, listen, we've seen conferences have overwhelming depth before. You know, the Big 12 last year, mm-hmm. right, was viewed in this way. The Big 10 a few years ago. I think the difference, at least it feels like for the SEC, is what they did out of conference has kind of made it unquestionable, right? Auburn running through teams out in Maui, the results of the SEC-ACC challenge, which were overwhelming, and the list really does go on. We take that right into Georgia, Kentucky, where a 12-2 Kentucky team runs into a 12-2 unranked Georgia team and just a 1.5-point favorite for the Wildcats.
Kevin, I think you're one of the guys that talked to me about this when I first got into this industry. It is home dogs, unranked, slight underdogs versus a road ranked favorite. And this line I thought earlier today was 2.5. It's moved to 1.5 because I think more money's coming in on Georgia. And I just think Kentucky, after that game, right, that 106-100 win over Florida, I'm not saying they're due for a letdown, but the turnaround and comeback versus a Georgia team, well, let's be honest, Kevin, you know, at 12-2, they could be the surprise team in the league. And think about this. You know, yes, they have a loss to Marquette, but they also have a win against St. John's, right? They lost their last game by 12 to Ole Miss. Now they go home. I like Georgia plus the 1.5. I actually think they went out right.
All right, so some love for Georgia. I'll tell you, for me, Coach, very interested. And I'm going to be on Asa Newell tonight over his points plus rebounds. The freshman has been great for the Dogs. I think this has the potential to be maybe a little of a breakout spot, a little extra light, eyes on him in this game against Kentucky. There's a lot of conversation around this upcoming draft class, and not that Newell's going to break into that top five, but you're looking at somebody who certainly is early projecting as a lottery pick, someone projecting to be the first pick. That is, of course, Cooper Flagg. Duke tonight against Pitt, Coach, laying 14.5 points. What are you looking for in this game?
Well, Duke has been really good, and I think, honestly, Kev, if I'm not mistaken, didn't Pitt go to Duke last year and beat Duke at Cameron Indoor Stadium? If I'm not mistaken, I think it was a very close contest. There was some stuff yelled at towards Capel. I like Duke here. I think Duke is the class of the ACC, and obviously, you know, I know John Chai, I think he missed the last game, but they've been, ever since their last loss, Kevin, they have been rolling teams. I mean, I'm not talking about beating them. Besides only, you know, Auburn by 6 and then, you know, Louis by 11, they're beating everybody else by 20-plus points. Yeah. I don't think this is any different. Give me Duke minus the points at home tonight.
And tell me, Coach, what have you seen from Cooper Flagg so far this season? At the moment, leads Duke in points, rebounds, assists, blocks. He's been doing it all for this team.
I think it's the complete package, right? Now, listen, I know he's not shooting it great from deep, you know, but he's shooting his 45% from the floor. The thing that I get most impressed with, Kevin, I'll be honest with you, with Cooper Flagg, is his defensive intensity. When you get these guys in as freshmen, particularly these big recruits, it doesn't matter if it's a big recruit like at a Duke or for me at a Monmouth. It's the defensive end of the floor that you want to worry about. Can they get stops? Can they defend? Can they block shots? Is their rotations tight? I've seen all of that out of Cooper Flagg. So to me, as much as I'm impressed with his offensive game, Kevin, and he's been playing better as of late, yeah, I think the defensive tenacity is a part that, as a coach, really has my attention.
He's anchoring a top five defense in college as a freshman. That is rare. You know, I've said this, and I don't say it lightly, especially because of Anthony Davis bringing a championship to Kentucky. He's the best defensive prospect since Anthony Davis. We've seen how that's worked out. I'm not telling you that Cooper Flagg is going to be AD. That's not a one-to-one comparison, but it gives you an idea just how talented Cooper Flagg is. I also think, you know, sometimes, JY, people get caught up in the shooting of it all, where it's easier to see that. When you have a defensive prospect, it becomes, you know, with Wemby, it was easy because he's 7'5", right? And the whole thing's preposterous. With Flagg, it's not as obvious off of a, you know, when you're reading it off kind of the box score, but it's obvious when you turn the game on. At 7 o'clock.
Kevin, really quick, with Cooper, I think the thing that makes him impressive is as a coach, is the ability to guard multiple positions, right? Meaning, yeah. You can guard this kid 1-3. He can guard 1-4. And if it lets it's a big, burly center, Kevin, he can guard 1-5. So now, when you run, if he's as a stretch 4, and you run ball screen action, and you get a switch, you can put him on a point guard. You can say, no, if that's Walter Clayton Jr. at the top of the key, get in the stance. Well, he's going to get in the stance. He's going to defend you. So I think that's the thing that makes it interesting is the switchability of him defensively, which makes it very intriguing because you get a lot of that in the NBA if you could switch like a OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges, Herb Jones, a guy that can guard 1-4. That's what makes really Cooper Flagg intriguing as a defensive prospect.
Yeah, I'll look. So he probably won't grow enough to fully meet the comp. This is going to sound nuts to people. I don't care. But when I was watching him in high school, I thought of Giannis. That's where my mind went. That's lofty. Very lofty. You're talking about probably one of the 30 or so best players the league's seen in Giannis Antetokounmpo. But look, just you're talking comps. Cooper Flagg is a special one. Let me bring this up. Coach is going to stick around. But at 7 o'clock, the one game I didn't get to, it's West Virginia and Arizona. Look, West Virginia ranked home dog. I get it. I like the Arizona offense in that game. 72.5 for a team total. You look at the game that they played, Arizona against Cincinnati. That's a better defense. They scored 72 against. Ultimately, without Caleb Love playing well, he plays better tonight. We'll be back. It's Game Time Decision.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
SportsGrid.com.
We're back with you right here on Game Time Decisions. We are with Coach James Young, buttoning up the college basketball card. JY, you're on the Marquette-Georgetown game. How are you playing that one?
Listen, I want to say this, and I'm not the biggest Ed Cooley fan. Everybody knows I don't like what he did to Providence, but he's done a good job so far this year at St. John's at Georgetown. But I do like Marquette minus the points here. I watched what they did to go to Providence and go to the dunk and do what they did to Kim English. I was like, whoa, this team could be the best team in the Big East. I know it's a big number at 13.5. Give me Marquette minus a point. And then the other one, just really quick, Kevin and I were talking about it during the break. Auburn at Texas. You look at Texas's record and you're like, whoa, 11-3. Like, oh my God, like this could be a game here. Folks, where's the quality win? Where is it? I mean, their best win, Kevin, is what? St. Joe's? Syracuse? I mean, last time they played a ranked team, they played over the weekend, they lost by 20 at Texas A&M. Auburn's the best team in the country. I think Bruce Pearl's team absolutely rolls them tonight in Austin.
Yeah, Texas's strength of schedule is impossibly bad. To give people an idea, it is 354th. The only other team to have a strength of schedule 342 or lower and be inside the top 55 is Missouri on KenPom. Texas has played mostly no one. Anyone they've beaten has not been very good. I am still on Trey Johnson in that game, though, over 16.5 points. I'll quickly reset it, and then we're going to do NBA with Coach. My college hoops card tonight, Tennessee at +4. You can still get +3. Asa Newell over 20.5 points plus rebounds at -115. Give me Duke-Pittsburgh over at 143.5. Arizona's team totaled through 72.5 points in their game with West Virginia. We mentioned the Trey Johnson 16.5 over against Auburn. Then that Michigan team total tonight against UCLA in a Big Ten battle over at 69.5. Coach, on the NBA board tonight, Lakers-Mavericks is usually a great game. Luka versus LeBron, Kyrie versus LeBron, AD in the mix, Clay, whatever it might be. No Luka, no Kyrie, 5-game losing streak, second leg of a back-to-back. Lakers are a 6.5-point road favorite.
Yeah, I know they lost a tight game at Houston, but they won the previous two games before that. To me, when I look at this game, it's just a team total under 106.5. I do believe it still is for the Dallas Mavericks. Kevin, without Luka, without Kyrie, who is their shot creator? Like, I mean, what are you going to say? What are you going to tell me? Quentin Grimes? Like, Spencer Dinwiddie? You know, they don't have a guy that can create off the bounce. So I'm looking at a couple of things here. I like the team total under 106.5. I like Dorian Finney-Smith to go over 6.5 points. He's starting to get his groove. They're going to try getting more opportunities, particularly if Kevin, they shoot the ball over 40% from the three-point line. That is enticing. You need guys to stretch the floor for LeBron and AD. So give me under 106.5 for Dallas, and give me Dorian Finney-Smith over 6.5 points tonight.
A big update around the NBA tonight, Nuggets-Celtics. You'll notice that spread is ballooned, -8.5. Nikola Jokic added to the injury report a little while ago at probable. He has since been downgraded to questionable with a non-COVID illness. Obviously, if Nikola Jokic misses a game against the Boston Celtics, where the Celtics are coming off of a loss, Coach, the number's going to be big. It's 8.5 right now.
Duck. If he ain't playing tonight, Kevin, duck. And this Boston team that's coming off, think about this. They were playing really well at OKC. Same thing that happened to the Knicks on Friday night. And they get outscored 29-12 in the fourth quarter. So simply put, the way this guy is wired, the way Joe Mazzulla is, honestly, folks, you can just take the Celtics -1.5, -2.5 in the first quarter. And just say that they're going to come out in a bad mood, especially with no Joker. Maybe the plays, if you don't want to stick your money in the whole game, you're worried about a backdoor cover, just think Boston jumps out to a big lead. Give me the Celtics -2.5 on FanDuel, 1.5 on DraftKings in the first quarter.
So far this season, Denver's played 3 without Nikola Jokic. They have lost 2. They have won 1 of those games. The 2 losses, they scored 94 and 90 points in. Cautious on what is a very big-time total right now at 233.5, but do keep in mind that number was 237.5, so it is already a dropping number in this game. NBA-wise, Coach, where else are you looking to put some action here on this Tuesday night?
Let's head to, since it's tipping off at 7 o'clock, to Phoenix-Charlotte. Two plays I'm looking at. Ryan Dunn over 1.5 made threes over the last 2. Same situation I think about with Dorian Finney-Smith. Ryan Dunn is a stretch four. They can shoot the ball. I think he go ahead and knocks down 2 threes. They need to stretch the floor, particularly with D-Book and Durant. Otherwise, Brandon Miller over 18.5 points. Boy's been hot in the fist crease over 13 of the last 15 games. Been scoring at a reckless clip. Give me Brandon Miller over 18.5 points because we got my guy, Sammy Yarnell. I'm going to his favorite Washington Wizard, Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole over points prop tonight at 20.5, 7 straight games. Those are my props that I like in the game. Timberwolves minus points. You mentioned Zion with the turnovers. I think they still got to work him back into this. The Timberwolves are in a bad way. I think it was 5.5, dropped to 4.5. Give me the Timberwolves minus points tonight.
All right, some love there for Minnesota against New Orleans. Zion making the return in that game. I will say for Zion, it's not a I don't hate if you take him for 25 plus, which was a tick under 5-1 at last look. Zion knows how to score without playing a ton of minutes. We have not yet been able to get word, though, on just how many minutes he will be playing within that basketball game. If it's 15 minutes, I don't want that bet. I don't want any bets. It's 25 minutes, that might be enough, right? So these are the kind of things that we're trying to figure out. Coach also mentioned the Phoenix Suns, Bradley Beal. Could we see a move involving Phoenix and Miami playing later tonight at some point in time? Get Coach's thoughts on what that could mean for the market next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're with you right here on Game Time Decisions. Kevin Wallstrom joined by Coach James Young. We're going to be joined by Mike Blewett very shortly here. Talk some stuff around the NFL, the postseason picture, certainly. But some things that could shake up the NBA market are tied to, I think, the Phoenix Suns and the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler, Bradley Beal. And, Coach, I want to start on the Miami side. I'm sure you've talked plenty on the BATR podcast. You can see it here on Sports Grid, of course, over on our YouTube channels as well. Is there a landing spot for Jimmy Butler that makes sense to you?
I mean, it would be, honestly, would be with Phoenix. I mean, if that's the way they want to play it. I mean, I also think Memphis is intriguing, but he doesn't want to go there. He basically said, I think today, both Memphis and Milwaukee were told don't trade for him. Here's the thing, folks. There's two ways to look at this on who controls this whole narrative, right? Number one, we all know what this is about. Folks, if you don't realize it, this is solely about money. Jimmy Butler wanted to get extended at the summer. Ryle said, no, you got to play in games. So now Jimmy is stuck. So now what Jimmy has done is now saying he wants to control where he goes because he's not going to sign a long-term extension with any team he goes to, except for a couple. I think the Lakers are included in that along with Phoenix. Here's the funny thing, Kevin. The only team I think that could have the maximum amount of money to sign him in the offseason is Brooklyn, and he ain't going there. So as much as I think Jimmy Butler think he controls the narrative, I actually think it's Pat Riley that controls what can happen with this. But Phoenix is the best spot for him and his situation.
I think that you're right in that Pat has controlled a lot, which has gotten us here. But I think the results that Miami is putting forward tonight, almost 10-point underdog to Golden State, is going to force the issue a little bit more. I think this everybody is now looking for a resolution, right? And they're going to try to find one. JY, the question then becomes, well, will Bradley Beal waive the no-trade clause? One. And then two, if Miami is dead set on not bringing in Beal, which it seems like they are, is there a landing spot for Beal that makes any sense to you potentially around the association?
To me, maybe, honestly, it sounds crazy. Maybe a place like Milwaukee. Because if you're not going to depend on Chris Middleton, who's often injured, you know, can you get him to somewhere like that? The other question is does he want to come off the bench? You know, I think that's something that, you know, I think Phoenix did that as a way to get him to waive his no trade clause, to get him out of there. So there's the thought of, can he go somewhere and come off the bench? Listen, if Bradley Beal comes off the bench, he instantly becomes one of the best six men in the NBA. So could he move off the bench? What about a place like Sacramento? Can you keep Monk off the bench as a six man? So I think there's places for him. It just matters of how the money's going to match up, because that is a really, really bad contract, especially with the full no-trade clause.
Yeah, I think for Beal, look, money-wise, obviously, is going to complicate a ton of things. You know, is there a world, a team like the Orlando Magic, say, hey, listen, we need a little more offense in the building? Maybe, right? My thing is Beal going to want out of Phoenix at some point? Moved him to the bench, game number one, went great. Scored 25 points, got the shooter plenty off the bench, still played 30-plus minutes. Is Beal on the bench because they're trying to push him out or because they think it works better for the roster? Things are secretly awful in Phoenix, and they are eventually going to end up trading a superstar to Houston, if you'd like a prediction of how that's all going to play out. JY, curious for you, we talk about Denver tonight and their game against Boston. Do you think that team could make a big swing? Whether that's Jimmy Butler, maybe a Zach LaVine or something to try and shake up that roster with Nikola Jokic still being as good as ever?
Yeah, because I think the window is closing. And I it's crazy like how much they miss a KCP, right? Especially his ability to shoot the ball from three. So I think a Zach LaVine makes sense as a scorer because there's too much on the Joker's plate. They need someone else that can create shots with Joker or that could become that primary scorer when obviously the Joker's out of the game, because I don't think Jamal Murray's it. Michael Porter Jr. is inconsistent. Aaron Gordon's been hurt all in and out of the lineup all year. They have no bench. So to me, that would be an interesting play, is maybe Zach LaVine going somewhere like Denver.
Yeah, I think that Porter Jr. Is the kind of piece that Miami would probably be excited to buy. I know they've mentioned being interested in Jonathan Kuminga. Coach James Young, JY, appreciate it. As always, I'm sure we'll be doing it again soon.
Let's do it.
All right, great stuff there from Coach. We've got Mike Blewett right around the corner, as well as the start of a great college basketball night. Don't go anywhere.